Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
There is a prayer that I speak, read over participants of the Formational Prayer Seminar on the very first day that they attend. It's a four-day seminar. And there's going to be some rather intense conversation that takes place about deep wounding. And I'm absolutely convinced that understanding God's love for you and how he looks at you as his child is foundational to allowing him to come and fix the unrepaired ruptures of our lives. And so a number of years ago, I paraphrased some scriptures from Zephaniah 3, verses 14 to 20, and then finally one scripture out of Isaiah 55, verse 11. It is a paraphrase, my own paraphrase of these scriptures. And I call this the Father's Blessing, a prayer that is the Father's Blessing. And what I'd like to do today is I'd like to slowly speak this prayer over you, and then I want to break down some of its parts to talk about why I think it's so important that we understand how much God is blessing us and how he's advocating for us and the needs that he wants to meet within our lives. And so I begin this prayer asking for the Holy Spirit to come and to meet us in the deepest of ways. Hear these words as I speak them over you. Rejoice and sing, my child. Be happy and sing with all of your heart, because I have taken away every judgment that is against you, and I'm clearing away all of your enemies. I am your king, your Lord. I am within you, beside you, behind you, beneath you. I even walk ahead of you. You don't need to fear evil ever again. Don't be afraid or let your hands grow weak. I am Lord and I am God. I am is with you now and forever, and I will use my mighty power to save you. Do you know that you bring me great joy and gladness? Let me quiet you as I sing my song of love over you. Do you feel oppressed today? Let me free you from that oppression. Are you having a hard time putting one foot in front of the other? Allow me to carry you. Have you been rejected or cast aside by someone that was important to you? Please allow me to gather you to myself. Here's my promise. I am going to bring praise to you in the very place where you once experienced shame. You will be known as mine among all the peoples of the earth. And watch, I will bring great and hidden treasures out right before your eyes, and they will be for you. This is my word for you, and everything I say will come to pass because of my great love for you. Love, Abba. I hope you're able to receive that prayer as a blessing over your own life. I would encourage you to go back and to listen to this again and take a posture of receptivity. Do a couple deep breaths first and open your heart and your hands. And imagine the Father speaking this to you. It's a blessing I think we desperately need in our lives. And it comes, as I said, from Zephaniah 3, verses 14 to 20. So if you want, you can go and look at those scriptures and see the degree to which it parallels what I've read over you here. But I want to take some time to go through the different pieces and speak a little bit about why it's so important that we receive this blessing and understand that our Father in heaven is ministering to us in this way. So the first part of this prayer is God saying, rejoice and sing, my child, be happy, sing with all of your heart, because I've taken away every judgment against you and I have cleared away all of your enemies. Singing and rejoicing that comes because we recognize that we've been totally forgiven, past, present, and future. Whatever sins were in our lives that stood between us and God and that are yet to occur, Jesus Christ has taken on at the cross. And he took it on, it says in the book of Hebrews, because of the joy set before him, the joy of seeing us set free from the heavy burden of the sins that we have committed. I think this is something we need to recognize so many people that are Christians are caught into believing that their behavior and their performance determines the way God looks at them, and that if they do something wrong, God is ready to pour out his wrath. But that is a very deep misunderstanding of what Scripture is telling us. Because what Scripture is saying is that God has already taken care of that. He provided the lamb that was slain. He provided the atonement. And that it should cause us to worship him and to sing. This is similar to what we talked about just a few podcasts ago, that if we really understand the grace of God, then all of a sudden that grace translates into worshipful adoration, a lifestyle of practical holiness freely given to God as our response to his overwhelming mercy and grace. So I think it's important for us to think about that. Rejoice and sing, my child, with all of your heart. Every judgment has been taken away. And also it says that I've cleared away your enemies. I believe what God is meaning for us there is that through the cross of Christ, he has defeated the evil one. And even though the battle is still raging, the war has been won. These evil beings have been defeated. We've been given authority. God has provided a way of escape for us when temptation comes. It's not easy. We'll skin our knees. At times we'll do things we know we shouldn't have done. And yet the promise of God's blessing is that I have cleared away your enemies. Remember this, that when Jesus came, he announced the kingdom of God, and the announcement was, enough is enough. God's reign, God's rule, God's kingdom is now infiltrating this earth. And the evil one will be broken. No longer do you have to be oppressed under the evil reign of Satan, but instead you can come under the reign and rule of God. Come home to who you are in Christ because of what Jesus Christ has done. So there's a declaration of allegiance then that is part of this prayer, because after we hear God say, I've taken away every judgment, pushed away your enemies, that there's reason to sing, the scripture then goes on in my paraphrase to say, remember, I am your king now. I am your Lord. You no longer have to live under the reign and rule of the evil one. God, who is filled with love and grace and mercy, who is perfect and pure, is your king. He is your Lord. And then some of these added definitions that I've given, he's within you, because the Holy Spirit, now that you're his child, abides inside of you. He stands beside you as paraclete, as helper. He goes behind you to support you. He is underneath you as a solid rock, and he moves ahead of you to prepare the way. I go ahead of you, the Lord would say. It's hard to understand how the Lord can be here and there at the same time, but it's absolutely possible. And then the Lord says, you never need to fear evil again. He didn't say we wouldn't fear evil, but he said there's no need. There are times I allow this fear to rise up within me, and it becomes very difficult. And yet I need to come back to remember, he is my king now. He is my Lord. He is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And then he says, don't let your hands grow weak. Don't be afraid. Boy, I've thought about that a lot recently. I've been meditating on Isaiah 43, the first several verses, and the Lord talks about, I'm with you in trouble. Don't be afraid of flood. Don't be afraid of fire. I walk with you. I struggle with fear. It's part of an old wounding in my life. And it's not easy always to cast it aside. But I need to sit and imagine my Father saying these words and hear them in my heart. Don't be afraid. Don't let your hands grow weak. Why? Because as the scripture says, I am Lord. I am God. And I am is now with you. He's with you in this moment, whether you recognize it or not. He was with you in the moment previously, even when you didn't think of him. And what Scripture tells you is that he's with you now, and he's with you forever. That's an amazing promise that God gives us. This matches the whole idea of Jesus talking. I think it's in Luke 12 where he says, don't worry, don't get anxious. God cares for you. He's with you. We need him to help us. Make that an episodic, experiential reality, that it's not simply words, but it's something that is soaked deep within our hearts and that we recognize it. This part of Zephaniah is amazing to me. Again, I've paraphrased, as God says about you, listen, your father is saying, you bring me great joy and gladness. How could that be? I make so many mistakes. I fail so many times to live up to who I am in Christ. But God looks at us as who we are in Christ. While God is concerned about our behavior, our identity is not directly linked to behavior. Our identity is that we are children of God. And just being his child brings him gladness. It's as though he wanted and worked so hard to cross the universe, to get us into his life, to make us his children. He's so glad now that he's done that. His desire is so deeply integrated for us. I think it's important for you to know that you bring joy and gladness to God, that he's happy that you are his child, that he doesn't stand as a distant judge or an uninterested father who emotionally abandons you, but he's right there. And then the scripture is that God wants to sing over us a song of his love, and that somehow as he sings over us the song of love, something within us quiets. That's a good teaching. Boy, I sometimes really battle that internal anxiety of what all's going on in my life, and I can get tense and my muscles tighten up. Oh, if I can only just stop and to consider the fact that my Heavenly Father not only finds joy in me, but he wants to quiet me with his song of love. Ask the Holy Spirit to quiet your heart, and then imagine your Heavenly Father at a time of great anxiety singing a song over you. It's what a parent does, don't they? They have their little one in their arms, and they want to quiet the little one, and they sing a song. And somehow the rhythm and the sound of that song coming from someone's heart of love begins to settle them. It quiets them. And we need to know that God is there for us. This Father's blessing that I read over you goes on to say, "Do you feel oppressed? Let me free you." This is part of Isaiah 61. The promise of Isaiah 61 is that Jesus comes on the day of the vengeance of our God, and his purpose of coming is to bring us many blessings. He wants to set us free from darkness, set us free from oppression. This is something that I really am trying to understand in my own heart, that when you feel you're stuck, cry out to him to unstuck you. That's right. Just cry out to him. There are times when we have to say, "Father, I can't, but I want you to do it." It goes back to Jesus on the cross. "Father, forgive them." Sometimes, "Father, I can't see." Sometimes, "Father, this oppression is heavy." "Father, I'm experiencing a bit of a despair." So in the strong name of Jesus and by the power of his shed blood, I cry out to God, "God, lift this off of me," I pray. And then we do our part by taking authority and pressing it back. "Do you feel oppressed? Let me free you." Is it difficult putting one foot in front of the other? God says, "Let me carry you." This is something that comes right out of the book of Isaiah when he likens us to lambs and that he puts us on his shoulders in order that we could be close to him, that he would carry us through. I am sure that all of us recognize that in our past there have been times when God has carried us through. By the way, I was at the bank the other day. I needed to do some work with a personal banker regarding my parents. And as I was there, the office was rather bland, and I think intentionally so, but I looked over in the corner, almost where you couldn't see it, was that poem about footprints. You know, I only saw one set of prints. Where were you? And the essence of the poem is Jesus saying, "Those are my footprints. I was carrying you at the time." And I was able to mention to the banker, his name is Joe, "Hey, Joe, what's going on there? I see that. I like that." And so Joe and I began to have a conversation about very elementary things of faith. It was interesting. He said the bank doesn't allow them to put any plaques up or have anything that in any way represents them personally. It has to have more of a bank presence and their brand on it. But he said, "I put it over there in the corner. It's a reminder to me that God is with me. Do you have trouble putting one foot in front of the other? Hear God saying, let me carry you." Do you need God to carry you today? Tell him, "God, I need some help. I need your power. I need the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to strengthen me and to carry me in this day." I believe God will do that. And then in prayer, it says, "Have you been rejected? Have you been cast aside, especially by someone that is important to you?" Boy, that happens so much. It happens in friendships. It happens in relationships. It happens in employment. And it never feels good. Often we build barriers and soon we get calloused in our heart. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to recognize that when we feel rejection, when we've been cast aside, allow Him to pick us up and to bring us into His heart. You know, one of the candidates this last year mentioned a basket of deplorables. And the interesting thing about that whole notion is that God cares about all of us that other people may have rejected. He sees value in us. Those people that have been hidden in caves because other people are trying to attack them, that's God at His best work. And so if you feel like you've been rejected or cast aside, talk to the Father about it. Tell Him how you feel. Let your lament go before Him. And then ask God to give you a picture of Him gathering you to Himself. That's a good thing to do. I've encouraged this before in Sling Stones. Ask the Holy Spirit to take over your imagination, and in doing so, ask Him to give you a picture of God gathering you to Himself, enfolding you in His embrace, and then be fully present in that. Allow yourself to feel His presence and His power. Now, in this next line that comes from Zephaniah that is also similar to what's in Isaiah is a very important line and a great promise from God. It says that I'm going to bring you praise in the very place where you once experienced shame. Now, I have to tell you, that has been so true in my life. We haven't talked a lot yet in Sling Stones. We will at some point about the work of emotional healing, but I went through a very deep time 25 years ago. Now, that's a long, long time ago, but its impact on me has lasted. I ended up actually having to go to a psychiatric hospital and get treatment. I was there for almost a month. And do you know that it's the kind of thing that could bring so much shame to a person's life? As a matter of fact, individuals even suggested I never tell anyone about it. And yet, that has become the very core of virtually all the ministry that I do. I'm not ashamed of it anymore. I met Jesus there like I'd never met Him before. And all of a sudden, the most powerful parts of my ministry grow out of something that really I wanted to run from, but instead it's become the foundation of being able to help other people. And so I've lived this scripture right here, that God brings praise in the place of shame. Absolutely. No questions asked. The books that I've written, the seminars that I do, the opportunity to serve, so much of it is linked to what other people said I should be ashamed about. That's the wonder of our God, how He takes something that the evil one tried to destroy us, and He turns it around and He uses us to transform us. He then goes on to say in this paraphrase of the scripture is, you're going to be known as mine by peoples all over the earth. Just watch and see. Now, He's not just talking individual. He's also talking collectively as God's people. As we begin to seek to invest the virtues and values of the kingdom in the way we respond in this world, all of a sudden we begin to find that our presence matters. People will know who we are. That's good. And then He goes on to say, I will bring out great and hidden treasures right before your eyes. This is so similar to Jesus, where He says that the Father loves to bring treasures out, old and new, and give them to His children. I am well aware that I don't have a clue of all that God intends for me, all that God has done for me, and yet there are treasures that come every day if I just keep my eyes open. Now, I ended this paraphrase of Zephaniah 3, 14 to 20 with the passage of scripture that comes out of Isaiah 55, 11, which is, God's word never returns void. So I wrote it this way. This is my word for you, and everything I say will come to pass because of my love for you, love, Abba. I believe this Father's blessing prayer is something very important for you. I would encourage you to hear it again now. Open your heart. Allow these words to soak in. Maybe copy them down, possibly record it, because this is the way God feels about you. Rejoice and sing, my child, and be happy and sing with all of your heart. I have taken away every judgment against you, and I have cleared away all of your enemies. I am your King, your Lord. I am with you, beside you, behind you, beneath you, and ahead of you. You never need fear evil again. Don't be afraid or let your hands grow weak. I am Lord and I am God. I am your Lord and I am your God. I am is with you now and forever. And I will use my mighty power to save you. You bring me great joy and gladness. Let me sing over you. Let me quiet you as I sing my song of love for you. Do you feel oppressed? Let me free you. Do you find it difficult putting one foot in front of the other? Let me carry you. Have you been rejected, cast aside by important people in your world? Allow me to gather you to myself. I am going to bring you praise in the very place where you once experienced shame. You will be known as mine among all the peoples of the earth. Watch and see. I will bring great and hidden treasures out right before your eyes. This is my word for you, and everything I say will come to pass because of my great love for you. Love, Abba. May God's face shine upon you until we have time together again.